Join us now for an encouraging word from our executive pastor, Clint DeGroot. Here's the message.
How many of you were here last week when Pastor Steinier is my senior? So we have a different genre of music that we listen to. He goes 70s, I go late 80s into the 90s. Are there any late 80s, 90s fans in the house? Emily, I'm going to ask you to bring me my Bible. I may need that. Thank you so much. Can y'all give it up for Emily LeClaire, one of our students? But I thought, you know what? We might have to go in the time machine to the 80s. And I didn't know if I was going to preach on prayer, but if I needed to preach on prayer, and I'm not, I probably would have chose this song. Yeah, you got to crank that up. If you know who that is, you're going to burn in hell. Totally joking. Totally joking. Bon Jovi. It's been around for a long time, and still, his hair has changed in every decade, but still to this day. Then I thought, well, maybe I can preach on a walk with Jesus and how... Okay. I don't even know what that song is. A little Run DMC with a little Aerosmith. Y'all remember the video? Again. Disappointed. Then I thought, as a youth pastor, I've used this song for many years, and I will continue to use this song. It's this.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
That works in youth retreats. That works in youth service. That works in every van ride that we've ever had. The Reverend MC Hammer speaketh. Some of the parents now are like, we're not sending our kid to youth anymore. But then there's an anthem. Pastor had his anthem last week, and I think his anthem is always Dancing Queen from ABBA. I'm telling you, how many of you love ABBA? I mean, you love ABBA? It's great. Make a joyful noise. But if you're a 90s kind of kid, this is your anthem. Now that the party is jumping. Oh. With the bass kicked in and the Vegas are pumping. Quick to the point, no. I guess we don't have many fans. Okay. But then I thought, you know what, let's go back in the time machine. Let's go Christian music. Christian music has evolved throughout the years. And I remember as a kid, my mom, she made us listen to GLAD. Four-part harmony, a cappella. Riding the Ford Taurus to New Braunfels, it was painful as a kid. And then we had the tape Twyla Paris. How many of you remember Twyla Paris? Oh, glory. But if I had to choose what we were going to listen to, the first and foremost song that we would listen to was a little bit of Striper. To that was for Gabe Gonzalez. As a 9-year-old kid, I remember getting a tape. And you had to roll it up. Remember, it'd get all, like, fall out. You'd have to, pencil. You just put it in there and twist it up. Let's rock and roll. Let's do this. We're going to make a joyful noise. We're going to do it beyond belief style. There's a higher place to go beyond belief. Petra. Any Petra fans in the house? Belief. Come on. Some of you are like, I came to church for this. telling you. But then there was the storyteller of storytellers in song mode. And every student ministry in fine arts would do a drama based upon this. Come on, how many of you remember the champion? I remember that song as a young kid. Really scared me. How many of you remember that song? Who does not remember that song? I need you to go find it on iTunes today, if it's out there. And look up the champion. Man, he does a demon voice that used to like, man, I stayed up at night. Thank God me and my brother had to share a room. Because I would have asked him and I would have invited him in to my room because of that. But then the greatest, I believe, CD in Christian music history. Listen, I mean, the greatest, and still to this day, the greatest. Follow me, the greatest. We're in a series right now called The GOAT in our youth ministry, and that stands for the greatest of all time, and we're looking at the Great Commandment. But this might be the GOAT CD of Christian music of all time, and the lead song and the lead name of the whole CD is this. What will people think when they hear the love of Jesus? What will people do when they find that it's true? DC Talk and Jesus Freak. Now, I just lost about 50% of my crowd. But we are in a series entitled Make a Joyful Noise. And our pastor last week, he led with the scripture in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 1. And it says this, sing, barren woman. And I think that's kind of a cruel statement. But when you find out the Lord's grace and his mercy, which is never ending, he's saying, look, in every situation that you're in, sing. In every circumstance that you face in life, sing. Make a joyful noise. Burst into song. Shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her husband, than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. And so I want to follow up last week's sermon in Psalms chapter 100. So if you have your Bibles, open up with me to Psalms chapter 100. We're going to look at all five verses. If you don't have your Bibles with you, you can look up on screen. But it starts out and it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. How many of you have ever done that before? How many of you are great singers in your own mind? How many of you are terrible and you know it? I'm glad it doesn't say make a joyful note. I don't have to be on the praise team to sing, all right? I was on the praise team at one point in my life, but Miss Wade Dean kicked me off. I'm still bitter. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us. And not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Let me just say this. We live in society. We live in a day and time that has so much noise, it's hard to hear anything. How many of you own a cell phone here in this place? How many of you during this whole hurricane bit, this whole time, your phone has completely rang off the hook and battery after battery after battery you have to plug back in? Phone call after phone call after phone call. Alert after alert after alert. How many tornado warnings can we get in 1 hour? Noise is everywhere. You have it at your office. You have it at your home. You have it at football games. You have it at your kids' recital. Noise is everywhere. And sometimes we got to fight fire with fire. Sometimes to combat the noise, we got to get a little bit noisier. And so we got to fight the noise that we have in our life with a joyful noise. Can I get amen? Jesus often withdrew. He often went to a place, maybe to a lonely place, maybe to a silent place so that he could get noisy. Maybe he didn't have a good singing voice. I doubt that. I think the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords could lift up a tune like nobody's business with a hammer in his hand. But I believe in Micah 2:12, it says, I will surely assemble all of you, Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep in the fold, like a flock in the midst of the pasture. They will be noisy with men. I believe that the generations that are represented in our church today, and we got a lot of them, Z, X, Y, and squared. Boomers, where are my boomers at? Boom. I know y'all going to lunch today. Beyond Burger down in Texas City. That was a little plug. You owe me $5. There's all different generations that are represented here today. And let me just say this. It is imperative in this season of our life, in the season that our society lives in, that every generation stands together and is noisy for God. The oldest generation can't step back and let our student generation do as they please. We have to show the example. We have to be noisy so that our students will be noisy, so that they can see how to be noisy. So they can see it's okay to lift your hands in worship. It's okay to come to the altars. It's okay to really be fervent for Jesus. We have to be noisy as a congregation in the joyfulness that is from the Lord. So why do we become noisy? Why? That's a good question. Well, why do I have to praise? Why do you worship the way you worship? Why? I remember the first time I came into a worshipful set. A church. I grew up in a church where we did not clap in church. Clapping was reserved for baptisms. Anybody go there? Anybody go to that church? We nodded, we said amen. And as a kid, I played tic-tac-toe on the back of the little attendance card. Anybody have that? Amen. Or hangman. How many hangman people? My grandma was right there. I get Trident gum every single week. Trident. Cinnamon. There was no other gum good enough for my grandma. But I can remember coming into the first time I came to Dominion was in 1998. It was June 7th, I believe. And I remember walking in and there was like energy. There was this dynamite worship that was going on. And I couldn't help myself but just tap my foot. Now, I'm used to just nodding my head, but I had to tap my foot. And I remember just thinking, this is awesome. Now, I didn't get it. I didn't know why the person in the front was raising their hands. Where are they going? What do they need? Why ain't they calling on them? Pastor Paul, I didn't get it because we didn't do that. Our church split when I was probably a sixth grader. And I remember we went with the hand clappers. So the hand clappers went to one church, and the non-hand clappers stayed at that church. And so we went with the hand clapping church, and we bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. You remember? We bring sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And then we offer up to you a sacrifice. Dean, you remember that song? God, we got past it. But then we would get into the, we rush in the city, we run on the wall. Great is the army that carries out God's word, right? Amazing times. And I remember we clapped. And we had one lady that raised her hands. And she was in the back left corner. And she was weird. And I got here. And 80% of people were like, whoosh. And I just looked around like, what is going on here? And I can remember the first time I ever raised my hands in church. And I can remember, you can do this, Clint. You can do it. You can do it. I was talking myself up. Man, the pressure of 70% of people doing this. I probably need to do this. I need to do this. I need to feel this. I need to just understand, why are we doing this? I need to see. I need a sense. And I can remember closing my eyes. Just do it, Clint. Just do it. You can do this. Pastor Dean, I can do it. I lifted my hands. And I can remember looking around everybody's looking at me. But no one was looking at me. And I can remember in a moment, I was like, oh God, I'm free. And I can remember that feeling like it was yesterday. I can remember, you know what, God? I'm going to surrender, just like in a stick-up movie of old Western, stick them up. I was surrendering to God in this moment, and I was giving him praise. In one generation, I looked at other generations that were around me, and because they were noisy, I got noisy with them. See, we got to fight fire with fire. We got to fight noise with noise. What does praise do? Praise invites God to rule over your day. Let me just say that again. Praise invites God to rule over your day. Psalms 22:3 in King James Version says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. NIV says, or the NLV says, you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. And so what happens when we sing, we don't just sing songs here to sing songs here. There's something behind our worship. When we sing praises, when we lift up Psalms 100 and we declare that God is God and that he is enthroned on high and that he is worthy of our praise, what happens is it moves heaven to earth and it allows God to sit and enthrone on our praises individually and corporately. And in that, there is a change of atmosphere in this place. You probably don't even understand it, but some of you have come in here and you're discouraged and you've had a fight on your way, but you're leaving with peace. Why? Because praise came and he enthroned on your praise. And when he enthrones on your praise, there's something that happens. He doesn't just sit there and rule. He doesn't just sit there and stand. He starts to sing himself. Now, I've never heard the audible voice of God in my life, but I felt his song. I have felt his word in me so deep that I know he's with me. We sing a song, oh, show me your glory. Oh, let your presence come. How many of you know that God does never leave us nor forsake us? He's not gone. But when we sing those songs and we praise him, what happens is the awareness of him becomes real in our life. We become aware of the presence of God in our life, and it moves us to a place to hear him sing. Come on. I love this scripture in Zephaniah. Pastor Fowler preached this about 6 months ago in Wednesday night Bible study, and it says, sing. Somebody sing. Go ahead, sing. Well, that's awkward, huh, when someone asks you to sing and everybody's around you. Sing, daughter Zion. Shout aloud. I can shout. Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. Isn't that good? He has turned back your enemy. That's even better. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day will they say to Jerusalem, do not fear Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. Come on. Somebody put them up in the air and wave them like you just don't care. There's got to be something in this place. The Lord your God is with you. The mighty warrior, Jesus, who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but he will rejoice over you with singing. When we declare the praises of God with a joyful noise, what happens is it invites God over our situation. The awareness of him being right next to us and near to us comes into our lives, and we start to hear him declare, you are mine, and I am yours, and victory is in your life. That's what happens when we praise. Praise invites God to rule over our day. Number two, praise also declares life over death. The tongue has the power, right? Proverbs 18:12. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I believe with all my heart that we should declare the works of the Lord over the things that get us down on a daily basis. How many of you have things that you're facing right now that can get you down? Yes or no? So I think it's imperative that we understand the power that is in our tongue. And if we declare praises unto the Lord, if you just get some psalms in your heart, if you go to Psalms 100 and just start your day with just reading that, you don't even have to sing that, but you can read that. It's still praise. Can I get an amen? If you just start with a little praise, what happens is it speaks life over your day. Not only that, it clothes you in a garment of praise. Isaiah 61, and you provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow upon them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. I believe that with all my heart. Those of you that have been impacted in this season of your life by the flood Harvey, by Hurricane Harvey, this is for you. He will bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And so when we wake up in the morning and we declare the praises of God, when we decide to put on some music that is declaring the works of the Lord. Now, I'm not an early riser. How many of you are early risers? How many of you love to sleep? My wife gets up 4:30 in the morning, a couple of days a week, goes to the YMCA, hits back, gets into the bathroom, and starts to do her routine. Anybody got a routine? She sits down in front of this mirror, has the makeup and all sorts of things right there. I don't even know what it is. But it's imperative. And then she has her cell phone. And almost every single day, she flips it on, turns on Pandora or Spotify, and she plays praise music. She loves Natalie Grant. How many of you love Natalie Grant? Oh, all right. This is a joyful noise. But I can hear it laying in the bed. I'm up, but I don't want to be up. How many know what I'm talking about? If I get up early and she's sleeping, oh, I'm loud. Noisy, making a joyful noise for all these times. But she starts her day off with praise. She kicks up the volume. She doesn't care if I'm sleeping or not because there needs to be a noise in my house. Yes, I'm a little bitter. There has to be a noise in our house that declares the praises of God. All those songs that we heard earlier, man, I can listen to them. I love, you know, Living on a Prayer. Yeah, that's great. But it doesn't do anything for my soul. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't declare. Does it get me, like, pumped to go play basketball? Yes, because I need a prayer. You know what I'm talking about with this. But when there is worship that goes on through that phone, through that car radio, through that whatever, Bluetooth speaker, something happens to the atmosphere. And my day that I had death already planned out turns to life because I start to hear the praises of the Lord. And when you hear certain things, faith come by hearing and hearing the word of God, it allows me to start speaking differently. And my tongue declares life over death. James 3, turn with me, James 3. James 3 will wreck your world. The whole book of James, sometimes I just want to tear it out. Hebrews, James, and John, right? The whole book, the whole chapter of 3 is about the tongue. And it says this in verse 3, when we put bits into the mouth of the horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships for an example. Although they have such, they're so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder. Wherever the pilot wants it to go, it goes. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil. I wonder why when in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit fell, it fell in the form of a tongue. Because it was trying to redeem that which is full of evil. All right, that's for another whole day. Tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and itself is set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison, except the Spirit of God. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. There is power in this tongue. We have to declare life over death. We have to declare his praises and do not curse our fellow man. Sometimes we should just shut our mouth if we don't have anything good to say. Mama knew. If you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say it at all. Maybe you just need to quote what he wrote. Maybe you just need to go to Psalms chapter 100 and quote what he wrote and just declare it. And don't say anything else. Just shut the book and go. Because some of us, we get in trouble right here. Even a fool is thought to be wise if he keeps his mouth shut. But we should not shut up our mouth when we are to praise our God. Maybe we can train our tongue on a daily basis. Maybe for the next 21 days, we get up and we read a psalm. Maybe for the next 21 days, we get up and we declare the works of the Lord. Maybe we get up and we put our Pandora, we put our Spotify to a worship set. And we see in 21 days, maybe my tongue can do something great with my life. Praise declares life over death. And lastly, praise combats the enemy of your faith. I'm going to ask Renee to come. We're going to end with a song today. One of my favorite songs of all time. And it's a hymn. Oh. How many know sometimes you just need a good hymn? Like last week when Pastor Dean and Renee sang His Eye is on the Sparrow. Man, it just preaches, it just ministers to your heart. The words are so impactful, especially in the season that we were in, even last week. Sometimes you just need a song. Now my son said, how long is it going to take for you to cry today? I'm sucking back up. Because we've never needed God more than we do today. And there's nothing like worship to change everything. Praise invites God to enthrone on our life. Praise speaks life instead of death. You know what else praise does? It combats the enemy of our life. Praise is an offensive weapon. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And the Word of God stands in our hand. And when the enemy comes against us, we defend with this, just like Jesus did. It is written. It is written. It is written. And he just quoted God's word. But praise is an offensive weapon in our arsenal. The word is the defense. Praise sets the arsenal out into the battlefield. Are you following me? What do I mean by this? In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat is finding three attacking armies coming against him. He inquires of the Lord, Lord, we can't combat this. We don't have enough men. We don't have enough in our arsenal. So he calls a meeting together, has a church service. In that church service, the Spirit of the Lord rises in one individual. He prophesies and he says that you will have victory. They sought the Lord. They heard from the Lord. And Jehoshaphat appointed men, it says in verse 21, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to go to the front with great armor and with great weaponry, those that were skilled in battle to be at the front lines. No. This is the craziest thing I've ever read in war tactics. No, Jehoshaphat did something that was totally out of the ordinary, and it confused the enemy. Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out ahead of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and the Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. It confused the enemy. What praise does in the midst of your battle, it confuses the enemy. It confuses people around you. Why are you praising God in the midst of losing everything? Why? Because I'm confusing my enemy. I'm combating my enemy. I'm setting ambushes in their place, and they're going to be destroyed. Because the word of the Lord said, I'm victorious in Christ Jesus. I'm victorious in him and him alone, not anything that I do. So I will praise his works. I will praise his name in such a way that my enemy will defeat. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off the plunder, and they found among them great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. 3 days to collect all that the Lord had for their lives. They heard God's voice. But before that, they sought God. They heard him say, "You are victorious." They praised before the victory was even won. Joshua 6, march around this city. It's yours. Its name is Jericho. 6 days, I want you to march around one time. Have them priests with their trumpets. On that 7th day, let them lead. Let them priests lead. Let them play some trumpet. Where's Nancy at? She's teaching our junior high class. Well, y'all grateful for people like that teaching junior high. Don't laugh, you may be next. I'm coming after you. 7th day, I want you to march around it 6 times, and on that 7th time, get ready to make a joyful noise. So they waited, they walked. Trumpets were playing in the background, just like the piano's playing. Josh is like, hold your course, hold your course. Hold your voice. It's about the time. The 7th time, they're on their way around. How many of you have ever run track before? That last lap is a hard one. Whew. Especially when you're out of shape. They came around. And Joshua, the leader of this army, the leader of God's people, said, "Now!" The trumpets blew their horns, and the people raised their voice, and there was a noise that came forth that brought down the walls of Jericho. And I'm wondering today, maybe our joyful noise that's in our heart, that's in our lives, that needs to get out, maybe if we just collectively and individually said, I'm going to stand and I'm going to make a joyful noise with all my heart, maybe the walls that are keeping us out of God's destiny will fall. Maybe. So I want you to stand all over this place. And I believe more than the 90s anthem of Ice Ice Baby. This song, from generation to generation, declares the greatness of Him.
Lord, my God.
Come on, sing. Do next week is just declare how great our God is. I believe these things that we spoke of today, the combating of the enemies, the victory, the life, the enthronement of God will be upon your life. How great is our God. I want to declare this blessing over you. Pastor Fowler, I love our Pastor Fowler. I declare this blessing, and we're going to give this to you on the way out. Take it, put it on your fridge of fame, and read it every single day. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bless you with the knowledge that the Lord is your refuge. Though you are surrounded by troubles, He will work out His plans for your life. Know that the God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes for them. I speak to the storm of emotion in your life. Peace, be still. I say to your mind, peace, be still. Now I speak to every mountain of fear, every mountain of discouragement, every mountain of stress, every mountain of depression, every mountain of lack and insufficiency, and I say, be removed and cast into the sea in Jesus' name. May the losses of the past weeks be turned and returned to you in this season. I proclaim and declare restoration over your life and all who were affected by this storm. May you see the promises that lie ahead of you, and may your latter days be greater than the former. Through his perfect love, may God give you grace to cast out fear. May he lift up his countenance upon you with freedom as you tell him every detail of your need in an earnest, thankful prayer. And may he give you peace that surpasses all understanding as he keeps your heart and mind safe through Jesus Christ. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I declare that we will rise up in joyful noise assembly. I declare that our praise will change this world. I declare that there will be safety for Pastor Paul and his team on the drive back to Colorado, and that noise will be in his church. God, I declare it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. We'll see you this coming week.
This concludes the message. For prayer or more information, email prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call 281-554-3600. Thank you for listening.